Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon to all of my blessed beloveds out there in Radio Land. It is my favorite day of the week. Humpity Hump Day. Today is October 9th, 2013, and can you believe that I think there's only seven more shows left to 2013. My heart is crushed. But 2014 is quickly approaching, and the lineup is incredible. So I hope you signed up for the newsletter that will start probably mid-month to end of this month. And you can find out more information either on facebook.com/celiacroads or go and visit my website. It is being revamped, so there might be moments where it doesn't exist. Please be patient. Rusty, R-U-S-T-I-E, MacDonald.com. And keep sending letters of inspiration. Keep sending the references for guests on the radio show. It's just more and more and more exciting. We are growing by leaps and bounds, and I could not be more grateful. As you all know, I have started a vlog series for 2014, so definitely sign up for the monthly newsletter so that you know when all of those launch. That's going to be super, super exciting. I'm sure you can hear it in my voice. I am drained. I am so exhausted, and I have no idea why. I'm thinking it's my whirlwind trip that I had south this past weekend. It was a crazy, crazy trip. And as I always say, things happen for a reason, even when you don't see it. And it's okay to be frustrated. But Thursday morning, I got up at 2 o'clock to catch my 5:45 flight in Boston and got to the Boston airport at 5:45 and completely missed my flight. And you can't get frustrated with it. It just is what it is. So I hung out in the Boston airport for 5 hours and went over to LaGuardia Airport to hang out for another couple of hours and met a really wonderful writer out of Brooklyn, New York. So I wanted to say hello, Kelly. Thanks for having a couple of glasses of wine with me. I hope you're listening, and I hope your run on the beach in the Carolinas was as beautiful as mine was on Saturday morning. I raced down Venice Beach, my morning run. It was incredible. Beach running is a lot harder than you think. It's not solid ground, and it's not even as solid as trail, as you can imagine. So that was tough running. But I had this amazing rainbow above me and dolphins to the side of me, and they were swimming along as I was pushing along trying to get through that sand, and it just was an incredible, glorious moment. Weekend was productive, but I do think I'm exhausted. Today, we have a special guest who I just love and adore. I'm inspired by a lot of what she does. She's an incredible mom. She is a fantastic zombie maker. As a promise, we're going to be talking about gluten-free and zombies today. So double whammy, perfect for October. She's an inspiration to all women and mothers out there. Her daughter, Doodle, the nickname, which I absolutely love, Erin, was diagnosed with celiac disease. She's young. She's 12 years old now. And Nikki started celiac, an organization called ROCK, which is Raising Our Celiac Kids. She also is an event manager for a gluten-free conferences across the country, and I think I'm speaking at one or two of them or helping in some fashion, I have no idea, in 2014. So that's going to be super exciting. So we're going to have Nikki on again to talk about the 2014 lineup as we get closer. And Amy, I think you're on. Are you there? Are you there, Amy?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, all right. So Nikki and Amy are on. Amy, if you want to give us a quick update as to how you've sewn your head on to your shoulders this week, because I know you're running crazy too.
Well, I'm just getting ready for the fairs coming up. I'm going to be at, I think it's called Yoga Wellness in Newmarket, at an element fair. So they're dividing us up by element, which is really interesting. So I'll be there this weekend and then the following weekend at Unity. So I've been really busy getting all my stuff together for the fair season.
Now, is that going to be on Sunday? Because I am participating in Okay, good. I'm participating Sunday with Cabot Creamery in Maine at a farm. It's a open farm Sunday event that they have every couple of years. It's really exciting. You get to meet the farmers. You get to obviously have some great Cabot cheese. The kids get to play with cows. So maybe I can kidnap the girls and take them with me. That would be fun.
Okay, well, we'll have to talk about that.
Yeah.
We're all over the place. So anyway, it's been crazy. I never get to see you.
I know, and I, it's, yeah, we have a lot to catch up on. So one day, we'll have to figure out how to make that happen.
Isn't that awful?
It's bad when you have to tell your friend you need to make an appointment. I can't do that. I can't tell my friend that. Miss Nikki, I am so glad to finally have you on the radio show. I just love you, and you know that.
Oh, I love you back, so I'm glad to be on here too.
So give us an idea of who you are and what you do. I tried to kind of tee up the zombies and the gluten-free stuff and how incredible you are.
It's kind of crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, you are a crazy lady. But that's why I love you.
I mean, you know, it's funny. I talk to people and they're like, you lead a really interesting life. I'm like, yeah. Yeah, and I bite on more and more and more. You know, it's so funny.
Yeah.
But I am the chapter leader of ROC, which actually Dana Korn founded ROC, which is Raising Our Celiac Kids. And I started the Charlotte, North Carolina chapter because of my daughter who got diagnosed with celiac. And basically it really stemmed from her her grief over her dietary change, which I'm sure most of your listeners and anybody who's made a dietary change that's major in their life can relate to. So, you know, I think that the grief process when you get a diagnosis of any kind is there, but especially when you're a kid and you're trying to figure out who you are and where your place is in the world. So, yeah, I started ROC in Charlotte, and it was highly beneficial for my daughter, but also all the people that we ended up and had at our meetings. And we throw what we call ROC parties, so they're a lot of fun. And the whole zombie thing, that came about because of ROC and us doing these Halloween parties, and my daughter had a zombie prom. So then I became a zombie maker.
Well, and I'm following you on Facebook, and sometimes I pull up my Facebook on my cell phone, cause like you, I'm all over the place, and sometimes it just shows a picture, and I'm like, Jesus, wow, what is she doing?
You know, I think sometimes people are like, wow, that's just, you know, kind of weird, you know, but at the same time, I mean, it kind of, the ones that you've been seeing on my Facebook are because I do a local community haunted house now, and I do their makeup. But I've been
because you have all the time in the world.
Yeah, well, yeah, right. you know, my husband was like, "Do not volunteer for anything else." But
right.
You know, the thing is I do have this love for helping people anyway, or I wouldn't have done ROC and all the other things that I do, and the gluten and allergen free wellness events came about because of that same thing. You know, I wanted to share with more and more people this freedom that we felt that you could have, even though you had restrictions in your diet and your life, that you could find positive, you know, outcomes. So it's kind of like it's a selfish thing in a way because I get this soul hit, you know, anytime I help someone with anything with their diet and whatnot. So it just, you know, it's kind of blossomed. It's interesting where it's taken me.
Well, and I think, you know, and I've been following you for how many years? When did we actually meet? Three, 4 years ago?
Yeah, it's been 3 or 4 years. Yeah.
Yeah. And I've been watching Erin grow up, and she's so cute and so, you know, because moms are different. We're different creatures. Like, we will post our baby's picture up on the largest billboard ever because, in our eyes, they're the cutest thing. And
right.
I know, right? And I know with mine, and Amy, I don't know if the girls are starting to do this, but with Chloe, she's like, oh, my God, if you put me on Facebook one more time.
I know. Erin does that. Well, what's even worse is when she's in the newspaper. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
I don't post a lot of pictures of my children because I'm weird that way. Cause
okay.
And there are a lot of people that are, you know, there are a lot of people, and there are good reasons to be, you know, with security and whatnot. I don't post Aaron's picture a lot, but I do post it occasionally because I'm overwhelmed with that proudness of being a mom, and especially because she's kind of stepped into some of my, my footsteps with helping out at the event. So she's become more of a personality at this point. But there are many times when I've got, you know, we're in some newspaper in some city and I bring it up and I'm like, look, you know, you're in a newspaper again. And she's like, Mom, you know.
But what I love about it is you've been doing this a long time with her and for her, and she's been so heavily involved in it, which I think is great. And as a parent and as a coach, with everything that I do, I'm always telling people to plant seeds, plant positive seeds, water them as much as you can, and let them grow. And that's exactly what you've done. You've instilled this volunteerism, this compassion, this wipe your knees off, get up, and you can do it. Attitude.
Yeah,
and a lot of parents.
That's what I tell her.
Yeah,
I tell her a lot, you know, pull your big pennies up, it's okay, you know, and but you know, she does have that outlook overall, and it is, I think that is intrinsic in how we react. Our children react the way that we react.
Exactly.
So if we react with a lot of stress and anxiety, they're going to react in the same fashion. And there are times that I have to pull back my pull up your big panties attitude, because she is actually having a moment, you know,
right,
that she needs to talk about it. And, you know, there are those moments as well, and we have serious talks, but I always try to end it on a positive light so that she goes, you know, it isn't that bad, you know, because as we know, the sun's going to rise the next day. Yeah.
Amen. So aside from Aaron, what was there any other inspiration to you that really drove you to work as hard and diligent in regards to celiac disease?
You know, I think that for me personally, it was the help that when I was young, my brother was killed in a car accident, and he was only 18 years old, and he was 7 years older than me. And my parents went through an incredible grief process. And during that time, my mother founded many chapters of Compassionate Friends, which is a nationwide group. And she did the same thing that I have done with Rock, but I, as a child, was a part of her doing that. And because of that, it spun off that in junior high, I became one of the kids that founded peer counseling within junior high schools in North Carolina. And so I guess for me, it was something that I was groomed as a child, just like my child is being groomed by me now. So we kind of passed that legacy on throughout our family. But maybe that makes us unique in a way. And I think that I would not have recognized the grief process in a dietary change had it not been for going through so much of grief counseling.
Mm-hmm.
And so I saw these very distinct markers that Erin was exhibiting in her behavior that pretty much signified the same thing I had gone through in grief, but on a different level. I mean, of course, there are all different levels of grief. And by no means am I saying that a death in the family is anywhere near as, you know, that a dietary change is anywhere near like a death in the family, because it isn't. But at the same time, it does have those same aspects.
Absolutely. And I've talked over and over again in regards to the grieving process, just simply based on loss. We have some form of loss,
right,
whether it's job, partnership, friendship, pet. And honestly, when I was diagnosed, I was traveling back and forth to Europe and just had Chloe. She was 6 weeks old, and terribly, terribly, terribly sick. I was losing 10 pounds a week. I couldn't even keep a water down. That's how inflamed I was. And I really thought it was the end of the world. I mean, I went through soap. There's wheat in soap. There's wheat in laundry detergent. There's wheat in lotions.
Right.
I'm like, and back then, you know, this was 9 years ago, the education was a lot less.
And the products were a lot less.
Oh, my God, hugely less.
Yeah.
Everywhere I go now, I mean, you can even go to CVS now or a major pharmacy, and there's a gluten-free section, and I'm like, sweet, and that just happened this year.
Yeah.
Going, yay,
yeah.
That
yeah,
just makes,
I mean,
for those of us who travel, easier.
It's really blossomed in the past 4 years. I've seen it just
yeah.
go, you know, completely from, because Aaron was diagnosed 5 years ago. Even then, it was a lot less than now. And, you know, so it is getting somewhat easier, although I think some of our setbacks have happened that have put us even further back in some respects and different aspects, you know. You know, like the fad diet and the celebrity thing, you know, that's all put us.
That really set us back a lot, actually.
Yeah, it set us back like 10 steps. It's been interesting to watch this all, you know, and people call me and they'll talk to me about like my family, and I'm just like, you know, things are just kind of up in the air right now because we're like, we're almost there, but we're not. And, you know, the FDA thing, it helped us, but it didn't. And it's just still as confusing as ever. So.
Yeah, I can't make heads or tails of it. But what I love is the more that you and I advocate and we're very public about it. And you know, sometimes I'm very much Southern, but I have a sharp tongue. And sometimes I have to be, you know, a kicker and a screamer. That actually encourages other people in our situation to get up, wipe their knees off, and make an effort at advocating and being proactive and having truth out there versus, you know, the hype.
Oh, I absolutely agree. And it's a very fine line to walk for everyone. I mean, I see
yep.
some people in the community put their necks a little too far out on the cynical side. And, you know, and I understand their frustration, and I read it and understand how you can be offended by some of the things. I mean, you know, commercials and comic strips that have come up and just, you know, I mean, and we see it daily on our social media.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just been, I think the way that I perceive some of it is, you know, it's always good to have a healthy dose of I'm going to stick up for myself. But at the
mm-hmm.
same time, it's not so good to be offended by everything because we can be so oversensitive. And, you know, that's been proven time and time again. You look at what happened with the Disney thing and the episode where everybody jumps all over Disney, you know. So, you know, and I agree that there was validity in it. It's just that
mm-hmm.
sometimes I think what we've done is almost portray ourselves as the crazy celiacs, you know
what I mean? Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, God, I don't
right.
even deal with those people, you know? And
right.
I sort of get that, too, because as a retailer and doing these events, you know, it's very hard, and you're dealing with people that sometimes don't even know all the sensitivities that they do have. And that's another whole issue in itself, isn't it? Because you're eating food that you think is gluten-free and it's still not making you well, and, you know, you read
right.
it, it's gluten-free, but you're still not well. Okay, why is that? Is it another sensitivity? And it's just, it's very, you know, daunting, I think, at this point. And I posted something this morning on my Facebook. I think it was about the fact that you have to be your own health advocate, and Gluten-Free
mm-hmm.
Works had posted it. It was a great article. And, you know, I really feel like that's the state of our healthcare in general. So it makes us even more strong in our advocacy, I guess, is my whole point, you know, because you have to be your own advocate.
You absolutely do. And I think on any level in your life, and again, I say this probably 3 or 4 times a month, right, Amy? You know, doctors need to be forgiven because there's so much. And I know as a single parent running 3 companies and as chaotic as my life is, I have a hard time remembering things. And
right.
doctors, they have to do their research, and their mind can
they're
only
human.
Hold so much. They're human.
And they
so.
Are human, yeah. And, you know,
and they're not
that.
Telepathic. They don't have crystal balls. So you have to be really mm-hmm. open and honest and have a really good relationship with your doctor. And if you don't feel like you can be open and honest with your doctor, get another one.
Or if they're not listening to you be open and honest, you know, it's totally your right to look for somebody else.
Absolutely.
And we did that with Aaron's sickness. You know, I had a specialist, and he wasn't listening to me. As a matter of fact, he claimed that she was making it up and she should get to a psychiatrist.
Right.
And, you know, that's been standard. I've heard that a lot in our community. And so I found another doctor. You know, I didn't waste my time anymore. You know, this is something that, you know, I want to shake doctors that don't get it. And at the same time, the doctor who I took her to, the reason he got it so well is because he had a vested interest. His child was celiac, you know.
Right.
And I think this is, we've seen this over and over in our community, that the specialists that care the most are usually somehow affected in some way, be it their own family member or whatever that has it, and so they specialize in that. You know, there's so many specialties in medicine, period. It would be hard if you didn't specialize to really focus on one thing.
Right. Absolutely. I absolutely agree with that. Amy, did you want
to
pipe in?
You know, I've been listening to, you know, you guys talk about, you know, because truly you guys are the experts on celiac disease. And what I'm following a pattern is going back to the old ways, like even back to how she brings her child to work with her and how the child is learning from her as she did from her parents, why she was able to, you know, why she had the knowledge to be able to form a group like that, because she was brought up around it. And we really need to be in charge of what we're putting in our bodies and, you know, take charge of that. And I really commend her for, coming forward and, you know, being that voice for those that don't have their voice to fight for, you know, because, you know, this is a growing, I'm hearing it more and more, you know, a person on the outside that, it, you know, it doesn't have to deal with celiac disease, but I'm hearing more and more of it. And I'm actually, with my clients, saying people that, you know, have certain, you know, symptoms that I've learned through Rusty, I'd say, you know, to them, you need to look into a gluten-free diet. You know, and I wouldn't know that otherwise. And, you know, that, you know, these problems could, you know, go on like they did for Rusty, you know. That, so it's really encouraging to see things going in a better way with the whole celiac and the, you know, the awareness. That's the word I was looking for.
Absolutely.
I think that's
case for everybody. You know, that awareness is key to us getting to a better place, you know, with diagnosis in particular.
Yeah, and Amy's, you know, she's, I've, when I go on my little tours or I go to some of the gluten-free events across the country, I always bring her kids back gluten-free food. And they don't have issues with gluten, but the girls absolutely love gluten-free pizza. I mean, they're like starving cookie monsters.
Really,
it's so funny.
It isn't gluten-free, is it, Mom? I'm like, okay. You know, I have to make it myself now. Thank you, Rusty, because...
You're welcome. I think that's the only reason why they used to spend almost every single night here on the weekends, because I always had gluten-free pizza and cookies.
Oh, that's
I love
so
that.
Funny. That's funny. I mean, because if you talk to some kid that has to eat gluten-free pizza, they're all like, God, I really miss, like, Pizza Hut, deep dish, you know, whatever.
Well, I think it's also perspective. Like, I think for Amy's daughters, I'm close to them, and so if it's cool for Chloe and I, my daughter and I, to eat, then it must be really good.
Yeah, you know
what I mean? It's not they're not living in the mentality of being without. And I find that children who feel like they're kids in general, no matter what the situation is, elementary school is really, really tough. Because they're learning about themselves and they're learning about difference and they're teasing each other and there's, you know, there's this growing into your own skin process that kids go through. But then when you take something major away, even if it's for their benefit, there's another difference. There's another feeling of, oh, well, I can't be like them.
Yeah.
I'm different. And the emphasis is different in a negative instead of a positive. And I think the hardest part that I've dealt with as a coach working with parents, and you can definitely testify your perspective, the parents are still grieving within themselves and not really allowing the teaching or allowing or encouraging coping for the child's grief. What did I do? How did I do this to my child? Why did I hurt my child?
Yeah,
oh, my God. She can't go to a birthday
party. Yeah, I felt that way, too. And I think that's why
normal.
People become so passionate about their food in particular.
Right.
Because you are providing this food for your family as nourishment. So when you find out that you were the poisoner of that child instead of the caretaker, you become defensive and like, oh, my God, I've been doing this to her. And I felt that way at the beginning. But I think it's interesting, like I've seen a lot of sides to this. I've seen the sides where the parents come in and they say, oh, he's dealing with it fine, or she's dealing with it fine.
The denial
and they
parents.
They minimalize the grief process of that child because they don't know how to deal with it. So they will minimalize it a lot, dependent upon how much they need to justify what they're doing. And I understand that. We all justify. But I think that they really discount their feelings in that case, in that scenario, quite frequently. You have that type, and then you have the type who comes in and is overprotective and doesn't allow the child to take ownership of their healing process. And I think that's really important, is that when Erin was very angry after her diagnosis. And I mean, she was angry, like at the TV. She was angry at advertisements. She was angry at birthday parties. I mean, just any situation where it was faced with, okay, I can't have that. It was like reopening the wound. And so she was very angry. But so how we would go grocery shopping. And I remember it being such a roller coaster ride of emotion that I would leave her at my mom's because I just didn't even want to deal with it, you know? And so I started thinking to myself, you know, this is crazy. We got to deal with this. So the best way that I came up with was to have her read the labels instead of me reading them and telling her she couldn't have it because then she was mad at me. And so she started reading the label, and it became more like, okay, I can't even say that word. And I would say back to her, well, do you want to put that in your body? And so it was like it became empowerment for her to say, no, I really don't. Even if it's gluten-free, I don't want this additive in my body that I can't even say, you know?
Right.
So it was good in that respect. And I think if parents can find those little key things that will help them to empower their child and make them more able to take care of their own selves rather than you be that doting parent that embarrasses them, then it will help the relationship. You know?
Well, you're gonna embarrass your child no matter what you do. Just you know. That's
you will.
They get to that age where they're like, oh my God, look at this alien. I just need a ride.
And don't kiss me in front of my family and my friends.
Yeah.
Oh my God, mother.
I'm kind of getting taste of that.
Oh, wait, just wait. It gets better, you know. In teenage years, are even. I used to think that elementary years, you know, I was listening to you and you were saying that they're so tough. I think teenage is just as tough. And I think that it's just tough in different ways. I think that they are challenging in different areas, and for teenagers, it's the fitting in thing. Okay, so you get to that point where they've got all these raging hormones, and they think that they're ugly and everything else, and then on top of it all, they're celiac and can't participate in this or that, you know.
Right.
And I think it was interesting when I took Erin to the specialist when she was six, and he was talking to me about it. He said to me at that time, he said, you know, you think it's tough now, but actually as much of an advocate as you are and as much as you've taught her and done all these positive things, I can almost guarantee you that she will try to cheat in her teenage years.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it was a hard pill to swallow, you know, because I'm like, I'm a celiac. I'm just gluten-free, you know. You can't see that, Erin.
So what is
reality.
Yeah. What for me, if I have any kind of gluten, I literally, it's like glass shards. And again, it's been, Chloe was 6 weeks old. So, you know, it's been 9 years, over 8 years. For 3 days, literally, there's
wow.
nothing. I'm in the fetal position. It's just, it's, and I haven't, knock on wood, had an incident in a couple of years, which is good. But is she that extreme or? Like, what's her symptoms if she does cheat? Would you know?
Yeah, we would know. I mean,
yeah.
This is the thing. I mean, she may cheat, but it would be extremely uncomfortable. I think his point was valid only in that if they have forgotten how that feels over any period of time, because she hasn't
right.
been contaminated in quite some time. so if that were... You know, I think we tend to forget how painful things are until we're reminded. And so, you know, it's a possibility, but I don't really know. I mean, she's pretty much her own advocate at this point. You know, when we go out to
right.
eat, she handles it, and she wants to, and I have to let go. That's a hard thing to do as a parent.
Yeah.
To finally step back and go, you know what, you're doing fine. Because I'm always listening and checking up behind her as she's telling whoever, you know. And so it's really difficult as a parent to step back. But you have to at some point, because you have to let them take control of their own diet. In my
All
opinion.
Right. I think if you give them the coping skills and you
yes.
and you just continue to encourage them to be the inspirational, wonderful little beings that they are,
yeah,
they have to be able to self-advocate, absolutely.
Absolutely. Because
and if they cheat and they...
Second.
No. No, but I think if you give your child the security and the tools, like I've worked with parents who would plastic wrap the child's room and never let the child out.
Exactly.
And have had to deal with parents like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like living, it's like the movie, The Boy in the Bubble. You
yeah,
remember
yeah, yeah,
that?
Exactly.
And that's,
yes.
that's what I wanted to do with her. I wanted to put her in a bubble and stick her out in the world and go, okay, now you can go have a sleepover and whatever, you know. And it's just not realistic. I mean, she had to become somewhat normal at some point. And, you know, that's the other thing. You know, again, there are several extremes. You can be the one that just doesn't even acknowledge it, or you can be the one that just over-acknowledges it. And
right,
then
exactly.
both are equally damaging. If you can find a middle ground, that's the best way. If you can try to remain positive and roll with the punches, that is also the best way. And trying to teach your kid to have the tools to go out into the world and not be the freak, you know? Because
exactly.
it's easy to label yourself. And I think that, you know, people are quick to do that. You know, we're so quick to label. But another type that we didn't mention is that I think it's difficult to deal with mixed diets in a home. And we did not choose to do that. So, you know, I have mixed feelings about it. We chose to go all gluten-free, even though I didn't have to be. It made more sense to us. And cross-contamination. And it made more sense to us in cost, you know, efficiency. But also it was a support mechanism for her. And I find really often that families are very divided in this area.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a father who doesn't want to give up his beer and pizza and everything else, and he takes it like a personal affront, it has actually
right.
caused divorces. And this blows my mind. Does that not blow your mind?
No, actually, that was one of the issues that I had with my ex-husband.
See, I just find that staggering,
yeah.
really.
Yeah,
and
no,
maybe
it's...
I just expect that my husband should be more, you know, and he is, but I'm staggered by that, really. I don't see how you could love someone and not want to support them.
I think it's a form of denial. I think it's a form of not being able to cope. And you find that a lot, and it doesn't matter what the ailment is, the dis-ease.
Right.
It could be breast cancer.
It could be
rheumatoid arthritis, whatever it is. But some husbands, some males aren't equipped with that coping mechanism to see it as anything other than a form of denial.
Right.
How they grieve through it.
It's hard for me to really grasp that, and I've seen it on both sides. It's not just men, I don't want to get all your men listeners going, excuse me. it's both. It's women and men, and I've seen wives do it to husbands, and especially since I've been doing the wellness events when I travel the country, I talk to a lot more cross-sections of people, so I see these common elements in every single city, and you know, if you are someone who if you don't have a dietary restriction and your spouse or your loved one does, I would just think about it. You know what I mean? I would think about incorporating some of it into your life as a support, you know?
Right. Absolutely.
Well, I know.
Go ahead.
I know from the outside, again, looking in, is what I hear is the transition into a gluten-free life. Where to begin? You know, this is going to cost me more money. Where can they find resources? I know that, you know, Rusty has resources as well, but I just wanted to, you know, find out, resources that people, you know, could hear and jot down so they can learn more about it as they listen to, you know, different symptoms. It may spark something and say, hey, maybe I need to look into this. But I know there's a lot more support out there, even just in the last few years.
I think support groups are a great place for people. Don't you, Rusty?
Mm-hmm. Say it again, I'm sorry.
I said I think support groups are a great place for people.
They're absolutely a great place. Yep, and I think, unfortunately, there are not enough of them in areas. I know up here, we don't have one.
Really?
Yeah. I teach at the local high school for free to at least get people together so that they can share their stories, and I do that every fall, and that's nice, but it's very difficult in the New Hampshire, Maine area to get a group going.
And I think a lot of that has to do with also population. You know, your more populated areas, of course, are going to be more socially inclined to be able to get together in bigger numbers. So people get discouraged when they don't have big numbers and they start a support group. And I always talk to people about that because starting Rock in Charlotte, I guarantee you there was several meetings that we had one person show up. Okay.
Right.
And I was thinking, I should give this up, you know, but at the same time, I was not willing to give it up. I think that you have to just keep on plugging on and start a support group if you're going to, and take one person and just take that as, hey, I reached one person. But, yeah, I think that support groups are great, and if you don't have a local support group, then you should by all means visit the website of either Gluten Intolerance Group of America, Celiac Disease Foundation. There are several that you can access online to at least find out a little bit about them. And if you contact any of them, they will send you free literature. So this is something that your listeners can do to get more resources as well. And the CDF, as a matter of fact, has a huge gluten-free resource that they put together and is available online to anyone. So it can help you with product knowledge, things like that. As far go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, don't forget the University of Chicago Celiac Center. It is incredible.
Absolutely.
I love what they are doing on an international level. You want to talk about it?
And, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, they are the hub of everything, aren't they? I mean, I love
Dr. Pisano.
I've met him several times and listened to him talk. He is absolutely, if you ever get the opportunity to listen to him talk, is not only engaging and humorous, even with his thick Italian accent, you can still understand him.
Right.
But also, it's informative, and it makes you feel like you're not crazy anymore. That's how I felt when I first heard him. But he has reached out in so many levels and doing international work and international studies. His group is fantastic. They really are. And I would like to have him as a speaker again in 2014. His schedule gets so booked up now. It's very difficult. But if you contact them, they will by all means send you some literature if you're a listener and want to do that. And then also, I have to advocate, too, for the University of Chicago and their Celiac Disease Center, because they will actually send a newly diagnosed person a whole basket of things that they can eat.
It made me cry. It was so cool. When I got my basket. Well, and I was several years, and I had sponsored, I had the basket sponsored through one of the companies I work for marketing, and they sent one to me, and I was like, oh my God, it had coupons and books and pamphlets and food, and it just, so when I teach, I always bring up the University of Chicago, because I think they're really making a large effort at not only the body connection with the education of what's really going on in your body, but also the mind and the soul. How awesome is that for a parent to receive? I just think it's liberating. You know what I mean? This huge basket. Yeah.
And it's also, it takes it beyond a step where even the University of Maryland and their Celiac Disease Center, although they're fabulous, I mean, and they are, they're two different and separate entities. It took it beyond that, where they actually gave you something that you could feel like, I'm not completely alone in this world and I don't know anything, because that's how I felt. I don't know how you felt, but I know that I was a single mom at the time that Aaron was diagnosed, so I was not focused on shopping at Whole Foods, for sure.
Right.
Okay. It wasn't in my budget. And I didn't even know what brands those were. I was completely, you know, I felt like I had never been in a health food store. And so to go in there, I felt extremely daunted. I think that what they do by getting those baskets is allows you that space at home where you don't feel like, okay, I'm completely lost, you know.
Right.
Also, shopping at grocery stores that advocate gluten-free sections, if you can, that is huge. That's a big help for anybody that's new. And we're lucky in Charlotte. We have a local market that has like two aisles of gluten-free food. And so that was where I shopped for the first 3 months, because I at least knew that I could go to those two aisles and that everything in there was gluten-free. You know, so I think that things are coming along, but you do still have to reach out and seek those things out. And it's difficult for someone that newly diagnosed, especially.
Absolutely. I absolutely can testify that in the beginning it's very, very hard. You feel like you've been on a boat for a long time, and now you're walking on sea legs. And the most frustrating part about it is you already know how to eat. You know how to put food in your mouth, and most of us are blessed with the ability to cook. But it's all of the hidden ingredients. I remember spending hours. What used to take me 20 minutes, you know, turned into an hour, hour and a half, because I had to read every single thing. And even now, some of the companies I can't trust because they keep changing their ingredients.
Absolutely.
So, or their sources for ingredients. So I just stopped buying their products. You know, and that's also part of self-advocacy, is you're the buyer. You're the one who owns that company. If you don't buy it anymore, they can't really make a profit, because they're, you know.
No, they can't. And our buying power is our power. I mean, people forget that. And, you know, I say to people all the time, you know, I'm not one to, you know, sure, a fast food restaurant might come out with gluten-free. Do I really trust that that's gluten-free or that some kid that was paid, you know, $6, $7 an hour is going to remember that? Maybe not, you know. So do I want to make that choice? I think that's all a personal choice. But, you know, it is a buying power. We're putting our dollars where it counts. And I think as celiacs, you know, and this is why I commend people like Gluten Dude, I don't know if you know him, and some others that will actually point out, and they do not care whatsoever about political correctness. But at the same time, what they're doing is they're actually speaking out for most of us and making that noise, you know, so that our voices are heard. And, you know, so many companies have made extreme changes in their packaging and their ingredient sourcing, you know, and it's difficult. I mean, I forget to even, like, I'm like, oh, yeah, I might need to check that label because they aren't certified, you know. So that certified gluten-free thing, that's, you know, golden, obviously.
Yeah. So, my friends, we've covered zombies, we've covered rock, we've covered being crazy about all of the passionate, wonderful things that we do. You've got 10 minutes total before I have to wrap up. Talk to me or talk to us about, A, where we can find you, because I haven't done that yet, and we definitely want to plug you. B, talk to us about these events that you're doing all over the country. I absolutely want to advocate that to the tops, because those events are huge.
Yeah, it's okay. So they can find me on, you can find me on Facebook personally under Nikki Everett, and it's E-V-E-R-E-T-T, or you can find me at our event website, which is www.gfas, and that's just as gluten free, allergen free. So it's gfaswellnessevents.com, and then also, you can find us on Pinterest. You can find us on Facebook, our event company. The events, what we do is we put together, it's nice the way that we do it. It's more based around national and local groups. So, okay, we also, we access national companies to bring to these expos. But we also have a heavy emphasis on what's locally available to people. We think that's important. And I am a big, strong advocate of buying local if you can. So we focus on that, and then we also focus on education. So for all of this, we bring an event to an area. The tickets are only $10 to get in per adult. 13 and under are free to enter. And we bring all this to you for $10. It's an amazing deal, really, because when you walk around, you get full of food. You get to try things that are new or that are exceptional that we have sought out in an area to focus on. And then you also get all this invaluable education from people like we're having Melinda Dennis from Beth Israel Deaconess Celiac Center. She's their nutritionist. She's going to be speaking at our event on November 2nd in Baton Rouge. And, you know, so to hear Melinda speak, I just have to tell you, is inspirational. She's great. So I'm excited about that show. But we also bring other people and personalities and people that are experts and chef demos and, you know, just try to give you a full-rounded experience of the positive side of being gluten and allergen-free.
Yeah, and I think I know from attending a lot of these events for various reasons, and I don't know if I've been to one of yours, but that's next year. That's next year. Karen's supposed to be working with you on that. I'm such a mushball and such a lover of the world, but I see the little kids going up, and it's like free food, and I can have anything I want.
Oh, yeah.
and it's just, and the parents are like, oh.
To them, you know?
Yeah.
They walk in and it's like that big old candy room with everything that they wanted. And it's not all candy. You know, I try
right.
also to have a lot of savory foods and real foods. And we feature people that do that at these shows. But, you know, they do get to have these excellent treats that are so delectable that they wish they could go back into a bakery and have. You know, and
right.
so the kids are my focus. That's why I enjoy doing them the most, because their faces are great. And
yeah.
it always reminds me of, like, the second expo I think I did, this little boy who couldn't have lactose intolerant, dairy, egg intolerant, gluten-free, and peanut-free. Okay, bless his heart. And I walked up to him. I said, how are you doing today? And he goes, oh, Miss Nikki, I'm so full, and I'm really sad about it.
Oh, the food
that
baby can be overwhelming.
That made my whole day that he was so full, that he was sad about the fact that he was full because he couldn't eat anymore, you know?
Right.
And that was, you know, that made that whole show worth it. And I think that's, you know, kids are great. They get to share that honestness.
Well, what I love about it, too, is you can actually physically see the parents when they walk through the door. And the kids just, they bolt. They're like, oh, my God, cupcakes, soup,
yeah.
pizza, whatever, you know. And I love it when there's an Italian company out of Massachusetts that goes to a lot of these events, and they have manicotti. And that's something
uh-huh.
that, I mean, it's delicious, but the kids,
yeah.
boom. They're all over the guys. I can't remember the company's name. But you can literally physically see the parents just drop. Like, they're not
yeah.
tense anymore. It's like, oh, go play.
Or stand there and, like, check to make sure.
Or cry.
Like, are you sure this doesn't have, like, whatever
right.
the other sensitivity is? And to see their relief is
yeah.
you know, it's one of those moments that you can't capture.
Right.
But it's, you know, it is definitely something that you see over their whole physical being. And that is part of why we do what we do. And, you know, it is a labor of love. I'm not making $1 million doing it, but I love doing it because I'm giving back. And I'm making that journey a little bit easier for however many hundred people or 1,000 people that show up, you know. And so it makes it worth it. It really does.
So anything inspirational that you would like to offer today's listeners in regards to what you want them to take away from the show or your
oh,
zombies
wow.
or you?
I didn't
or...
inspire you enough yet? No.
you're perfectly inspirational to me. I just like to, you know, close the show on a little bit of a challenge.
I guess what I would say to your listeners is, you know, if you're beginning this and it seems daunting, we're in this with you. You know, you're not alone. That's the biggest thing that you need to know. And if you need help, reach out for it because it is there. And the celiac community and the gluten-free community in, at large is very helpful. So, you know, if you need help, ask for it. If you feel like a shoulder to cry on, you need to do that. You know, do it. And so that's my inspiration for today. You know, pull your big panties up and it's all right.
I love you. So do you have any, so you have November 2nd, you said you were in Baton Rouge? Is that right?
Yes.
Did I hear that right?
I'm in Baton Rouge. We're having a show there at the Cook Hotel and Conference Center, which is at LSU. We're excited about that, because we feel like we'll be able to access some of the student body and get them involved. And, you know, doctors in the area and all of that. We're working with the CDF there, the CDF group, and Mary Mack is a force to be reckoned with. She's awesome. And she's like 80 years old, and this woman is tireless. She makes me look like I have no energy. So,
that's awesome.
You know, I thoroughly hope that anybody that's in the area or can travel to the area will join us. I think it will be well worth your time. And then we don't have a show again until February, so I have like a little holiday break. I don't know what I'll do with myself.
Well, you're going to keep hiking, right?
Yeah, I'm going to keep hiking. I love hiking up here. I live in the mountains of North Carolina now, and it's just absolutely
Yeah, I've loved the pictures that you've been posting.
I can't tell you. It's just like, it's spiritual to me to go hiking now, which is cool. So, yeah, I'll be around.
All right, well, why don't you... Now, you're also a hairdresser, too. Is that correct?
Yes, I am. Can you believe I'm actually standing in the waxing room at the salon right now?
That's awesome. So,
I have to get more quiet, so I'm like, can I have the waxing room? Yeah, right. I'm a hairdresser.
No screams in the background. That's good.
23 years. Can you believe that? And, you know, I guess, so I, it wasn't very much a far cry for me to want to service people and make them happy because that's what I do anyway. And
right.
Now it's interesting because I can now bring my gluten-free knowledge to the hair world and to the
yeah.
makeup world because we sell makeup as well. And we sell Afterglow, which is the only gluten-free certified makeup there is. We are, you know, and that's been interesting to talk to people, and they didn't even know that that existed. So, yeah, I'm still reaching out and doing gluten-free no matter where I am.
So, actually, can I make a proposal to you? And I just want you to think about it. And it's kind of putting you on the spot because there's only like 150,000 bazillion people internationally listening to the show. No pressure.
Great.
but no, now that I'm doing... None. Now that I'm doing the video blogs, maybe somehow we can connect and you can be part of that video blog process and doing a makeover or something along those lines to talk to people about gluten-free makeup and beauty products. I would love to have you on for that. I think it's very important.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we can work that out. Just send me an
yeah.
email.
All right, Karen, hopefully you're listening. Send her an email.
Okay.
I will. So, Nikki, we are wrapping up now, and I am so grateful to have you on. Please, please, please let me know.
Thank you for having me on. It's been a pleasure, and I can't wait to meet you again and to, you know, get together and all that good stuff. But definitely thank
Absolutely.
You for having me on the show.
Absolutely, and I'm already booking for 2014, but I want to be able to advocate the events that you're holding next year. So please, if you remember, to email
okay.
sometimes in February. And, yeah, I think February we have a couple of openings, and that way we can line it up with the events that you're doing and get
sure.
some advertising
that
out there.
That would be most appreciated because we have 9 on schedule for next year, and they're in places where they've never even had a show before. So
That's
it should
awesome.
Be interesting.
Yeah,
anyway,
I'm looking forward to the ones. Yeah. I said I'm looking forward to the one in New England and the one in Florida. I'm gonna hit
yes,
both of those.
Me too. I'm thrilled about that. I mean, I have been a Southern show, and now I'm gonna go to
yeah.
New England. So.
Yay!
Yay!
All right, my dear. Well, much love to you and Doodle, and keep inspiring all of us. And let's reconnect soon. All right, my friend.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. So you're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty. I'm Rusty.
And I'm Amy.
And I am trying, we have like a minute and a half, and I'm trying to figure out who we have on next week. I don't even know anymore. Dun, dun, dun. Nikki is fabulous. I just love, love, love her.
Yes.
She's such a huge inspiration. And she's tireless, just tireless. Let's see. It looks like we have next week Christy Bolcharski of Empowering. She is a coach, an author, a speaker on empowerment. So how perfect is that? I love people who want to empower other people and provide energy and success through positive motivating things. So we're going to learn all about her next Wednesday here at Living and Thriving with Rusty. And my dear Amy,
mm-hmm.
know that I love you. Know that you are beautiful. I am grateful that we get to share this journey together and meet some really crazy, amazing, inspirational people. And again, just keep calling in and keep sending me messages and introducing us to more people that you find inspiring that we can share with the rest of the world. Until next week, I love you. Have a wonderful day.